So our product and tech team over the last sort of 12 to 15 months have invested in building, well, we have invested with them in building out our own custom data platform, which is, I mean, I won't go into the sort of tech side of it, but, you know, we use a sort of variety of data connectors and APIs to pull out key data, which we can then model and visualize and use it in sort of almost real time to drive decision making across the platform for both acquisition, retention, customer behaviors, user journeys, all that sort of stuff. And that for me has been a game changer for the business in terms of what we've learned from it.
Hello, I'm Caroline and welcome to the Lightning 50 e-commerce growth hacking podcast. Today you are speaking to Nick Torday. He's the co-founder and CEO at Bauer Collective. But before we get into the interview, a quick message from our sponsor, Inventory Planner. Are you tired of being buried in excess inventory? Then you need Inventory Planner, the number one demand planning software for e-commerce businesses. Inventory Planner gives you real-time insights to identify slow-moving products and hot sellers at a glance, helping you make informed decisions about your inventory and freeing up crucial cash flow. Right now, listeners of the Lightning 50 podcast can get a free trial of this incredible tool by heading to inventoryplanner.com. That's inventory-planner.com. Inventory Planner, never knowingly overbuy or underbuy ever again. And now on to the podcast. Bauer Collective is on a mission to eliminate plastic waste and create a more sustainable world. A multi-award-winning B Corp, Bauer Collective is a digital-first sustainable consumer goods brand selling home and personal care products in reusable packaging. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Caroline. Yeah, all good. Really well. Thanks very much for having me. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you on the podcast and to learn a little bit more about Bauer Collective, which you co-founded. So tell us a little bit about what you're trying to achieve with this product and this company.
Sure. So the story goes back a few years. So I used to run a tech business and my client base was not exclusively, but primarily big social and environmental impact organizations. So people like the UN and Greenpeace and WWF, as well as big blue chip corporates. So we did quite a lot of work around sort of environmental impact. And we did a campaign maybe 8 years ago now, where we built a big data model of all the plastic waste in the oceans in the world, all the marine plastic waste. And I have to say, it blew my mind. And so that began a journey for myself and my family to try and recognize this problem and shop more consciously and live more consciously and sustainably. And on that journey, I discovered a number of things. One, that the options out there weren't great. Two, that it was a very sort of fragmented ecosystem for consumers. And three, that the customer experience of trying to eliminate waste was also quite clunky and quite frictionful. So around that time, I got in touch with an old friend of mine, Marcus, my co-founder. Marcus had built a very successful compostable packaging business, biopackaging business, which he had sold. So he was looking for his next challenge. And we came together with this hypothesis of how can we build a really scalable transformational business that directly addresses this problem of plastic waste. So long story short, we kicked around a whole bunch of different business ideas and Bauer Collective is the business that was born out of that process. And we launched in January 2020.
So it's refillable home and personal care products. So give me an example of your bestseller, for instance.
That's right. So we're multi-category. So all of the products in your home our best sellers are our hand washes, Lyman aloe vera and grapefruit and geranium hand washes, through to dishwash products, through to laundry, through to surface cleaners and personal care. So last year we launched our own body wash and hair care range as well. So we've now got full kind of liquid household home and personal care category coverage. And those products are delivered to our customers' homes in what's called Bauer Pack, which is our unique proprietary reusable packaging system, which is a technology-enabled closed-loop reusable packaging system. Basically, we ship you packs of product. You dispense those products into your dispensers at home. You then send the empty packs back to us in a prepaid envelope to our refill center. They're put through a quality control process and refilled with exactly the same product. And each pack has a unique digital ID, so we know exactly what batch of product has been in which packet at any given time.
Fantastic. We'll get more onto the technology of that in a moment, but let's speak a bit about how e-commerce has really helped drive your business. Are you fully online? Are you looking to go into stores at some point? But tell me about how e-com has really completely taken off, because I've got here that your compound growth rate is at 270% year on year. Why is that, and how has e-com helped?
Yes, so we are currently 100% direct consumer. We are just branching out this year into physical stores. So we're in negotiations with a number of major national retailers and independents at the moment. But yeah, hitherto, our growth has all been online. That's been 100% of the business. I mean, my background was running a tech business, and we built a number of stores, quite big stores for clients. So it was an area that I was familiar with, but I'd never actually, created my own brand from scratch, as it were. So that was the really fun challenge for Marcus and myself as co-founders, was creating a really purpose-led brand with a really clear product proposition to take to customers. And it just, like a lot of these things, I think timing is everything. And we did launch in January 2020, just before lockdown, which was both a sort of blessing and a curse. It was a blessing in as much as you know, it was a boom time for e-commerce and direct consumer sales. So we grew like unbelievably quickly, but it was a curse because it was an absolute nightmare trying to get anything through in the supply chain when we were a tiny little, really we were only about 3 or 4 months old, and we were struggling to get products to service the huge demand that we were seeing.
Can imagine a time when everyone was washing their hands and needing soap.
Yeah, there was a lot of hand washing, there was a lot of hand sanitizer sales, which people were saying, oh, you're a really opportunistic brand. We're like, no, we were already selling hand san in refill. That was already part of the product stack before COVID happened. But yeah, it was a roller coaster, really. But yeah, we've got a great technology platform. We use Shopify and a product called Recharge, which drives our subscription. But we've really built our own custom platform on top of those sort of core enterprise technologies. And yeah, it's been a great few years for us.
So you worked in the technology side of retail, but not necessarily on as a retailer in the past. So you were aware of the business and how retailers operated. What was it that you've brought now? You've come over to become a retailer yourself, a retailer of goods and a manufacturer. What has the key thing that you've brought over as a technologist that you think has really helped Bauer Collective grow?
Well, it sounds probably like a really obvious thing to say, but at my old business, you know, we really at the heart of everything we did was customer centricity. So we had a very large user-centered design team, and we had sort of customer-centered design principles at the heart of all of our technology work. And that has been, you know, kind of the biggest thing that we've brought to Bauer right from the early days, was sort of a relentless focus on the customer. And, continual learning, iterative learning, both on a technology and a product front. So on the technology front, we have a tech product, an engineering team that are, you know, constantly doing qualitative and quantitative research with our customers around how does our subscription platform work? How does our useful product feature upsell stuff, you know, all the usual stuff. There's a continuous learning process on that side. But then also on the physical product side, we have a closed community on Facebook of over 1,000 customers who we test all our products with pre-launch to validate fragrances and efficacy and all of that stuff. So, you know, that sort of culture of being like really dialed in to the voice of the customer is very strong in Bauer, and I think that was one of the things that came across from previous experience of working in sort of user-centered design and technology.
Interesting. It's so important to just have that customer front of mind, constantly referring to what your customer needs, right? Let's talk a little bit about subscription. So this is an area that fascinates me. I'm writing about retail for many, many years. I feel like this was something that kicked off about maybe 7 to 10 years ago. It got really, really popular where I remember there was even a cheese toasty delivery in the post that you could get, which was just fantastic. Ideas were going. Not all of them survived. You know, some of the big guns survived.
You get a cheese toasty every week?
Every week or something in the post.
Every day?
Every day. I mean, you'd want one every day, surely. There were different flavours. I remember when I was writing about this, I feel like we've got peak subscription now.
Yeah, that's peak. That's definitely peak. Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think these guys are around, but the innovation and the ideas, you know, they were really, really hotting up a while back, and quite a few of them, you know, not all of them have survived. The strong guys, the food boxes and such have. Tell me why subscription was so important to you in such a market, you know, that we've seen so much up and down in this market. We've seen so many brands do really well, so many brands fail. Why was it important to you?
I think it's so closely aligned with the purpose of the business, right? The purpose of the business is reuse and refill, which is a repetitive behavior. So the idea with Bauer is you buy, I'm showing you for your benefit on the camera, one of our beautiful Bauer dispensers, and you've got a dispenser for life, and in that goes a product which you get on repeat. So, and that's, once you're in that repeat process with us, we give you a customer guarantee that zero plastic waste will come out of your home while you're a customer with Bauer Collective. So it kind of, it's just instinctively, it fits the model of what we're doing. And also the products that we sell are products that you buy on repeat. You know, they're not cheese toasties, they are things like washing up liquid and body wash and laundry liquid, which are, you know, products that lend themselves very naturally to a subscription model. So I think it's not like we sort of crowbarred something in there. It's just a business model that naturally underpins our both our purpose and mission, but also our product proposition.
Clearly, you've got 68% of your in-month revenue comes from your subscription customers, so they clearly like it. From a tech perspective, was there something else that you needed to consider when developing your platform to make subscription really work? And I suppose the whole point about subscription is to be seamless, both for you and the customer. Correct.
I think where it differs for us is we're probably a more complex business than your standard. So let's take a coffee subscription business, for example. Pretty straightforward proposition. You get a bag or a couple of bags of coffee on a cadence that works for you every fortnight or whatever. And there's maybe some skew variance within that in terms of the dark roast or the whatever it might be. With us, we're multi-category. So there's quite a lot of complexity to manage there. For instance, you might want to get your toilet roll, your body wash, and your washing up liquid every month, but you might want to get your limescale remover, your toilet cleaner, and your secondary household products on a 3-month cadence. So there is a bit more complexity that we have to manage. And as a consequence, the out-the-box enterprise technologies don't really deliver what we need. So we have had to do quite a lot of custom development and feature building to build out a sort of Bauer, really intelligent, data-driven Bauer subscription platform. So, you know, that's, I think a lot of these, you know, we use Recharge. There are other enterprise subscription platforms are available, but they met some of our requirements, but not all of them. And so we've had to then extend that with our own tech layer, a sort of API-driven tech layer on top of it to deliver what our customers need.
I see. So beyond everything we've talked about so far, what do you think has been the biggest factor behind your success over the last 3 years?
I honestly think the biggest factor has been a real clarity of our mission and purpose. And that is ultimately why people love Bauer Collective, because we're solving a problem that they have in their lives. Deloitte did a survey, I think it was end of 21, beginning of 22, massive global consumer survey, and 70% of respondents said that eliminating single-use plastic from their lives was their number one priority as a consumer. So this huge shift in consumer recognition of the problem and appetite to solve it, we genuinely believe has been the single driving factor behind our success. And, you know, maybe that was timing or whatever, but, you know, it's very, very clear when you shop with Bauer that it's all about mission. For instance, when you log into your account, every order you make, we do a calculation of how much plastic waste you're saving, and you have a sort of gamified dashboard on your customer account, which tells you how much plastic waste you've eliminated and how much carbon you've saved in the time you've been a Bauer customer. So it's a real direct value exchange with the customer about the positive planet impact you're having by shopping with Bauer Collective.
And when it comes to sustainability and technology, is that something else that you had to kind of factor into your planning? I feel there's so many companies out there that are sustainable, and there's so many areas, and there's even just, you know, retailers that have been around forever that are trying to become more sustainable. So many companies that I speak to just have this almost rabbit in the headlights. They don't know where to start. If you change one thing here, then something else becomes less sustainable over here. The plastic shopping bags is always a good example. You know, yeah. Cotton tote bags use so much water, and we get them in every goodie bag, and they get handed out everywhere. And I have so many in my home, but I think I'm never going to reuse these enough to make up for the amount of water that's being used. But they are better than plastic. All of these junctions in the road that are constantly preventing people from and companies from becoming more sustainable. But from a technology perspective, have there been any crossroads there where you're like, well, I want to make sure that this partner we're using is sustainable, or I need to make sure that this data center over here is using less energy? Is that something that you consider as well from a tech perspective?
We do. I'd say it's probably an area we've got to drive into more, particularly when you're working with enterprise tech platforms. You have limited control over the kind of... But one thing, we're a certified B Corp, and B Corp take, you know, there's a whole part of that certification process which is about auditing your supply chain. So obviously we over-index very much on our product supply chain. 85% of our products are manufactured in the UK, so it's a deliberately very low carbon supply chain. But on the tech side, it's a really good question, and I think it's so tricky, isn't it? I was saying, you know, we were having a conversation with the team the other day about how a lot of consumers boycott Amazon because they feel Amazon's working practices and ethical working practices are, you know, not don't align with their values. But I think the statistic is that 45% of the internet is on Amazon Web Services. So as you say, there's a lot of quite complex stuff to pick through there. And we have done a sort of, you know, high level carbon audit of our technology stack. And I think there's definitely room for improvement. So it is an area that we're focusing on. We're actually just going through our second round carbon certification, carbon neutral certification at the moment. It is factored into that.
You know, auditing is the first place to go, right? So you know where to make those changes. So well done for doing that. Tell me a little bit about all these certifications, B Corp especially, you know, notoriously difficult to do. I've heard of the big companies doing it all the way through to guys like yourself. How did you find that process? And would you recommend other companies who are doing the same thing? Or would you be like, no, don't do it. It was so painful.
I'm a big fan, to be honest. I've heard there's a lot of chat around B Corp, its legitimacy. I think its legitimacy is very strong. It's a very, very active, authentic community of businesses. It's really hard. It is rigorous, like really rigorous. But to be honest, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And for our business, we decided that, you know, it set a really like clear, rigorous framework for us to apply as we grew. So doing it as an early stage, I think we certified in November 21, when the business was only whatever, you know, 17 months old or something. Doing it at that really early stage, super helpful, because then you've got all of these frameworks, policies, strategies in place right from the ground up. I think for massive businesses that have had to retrofit it in, and I've spoken to a number of them that have, it's you know, it's hugely complex. But no, I'm a big fan, big advocate for B Corp. I think it's a really strong movement. And to add to your other question, there are a lot of other like certifications, kite marks, consortiums. It can be really confusing. And particularly when it comes to carbon as well, there's a huge amount of different carbon auditing partners, bodies, consortiums, etc. And I think you've just got to like back yourself as a founder or a business owner, speak to other people and make some really clear judgments on what's right for your business and your customers.
And even just choosing the right technology partner to measure your carbon, right? It's I always liken it to everyone pretty much knows what a calorie is. When we see them on menus now, you know how much a burger is and whether that's a treat or something healthy. Carbon, units of carbon, customers aren't quite as familiar with at the moment. So the people out there that measure these there's a few different platforms, aren't there, to measure, and some might come up with different amounts. How have you approached that from a tech perspective, and do you work with a partner to do that?
We do. We're working with a partner called Climate Partner, having previously worked with another partner on our first round of carbon auditing. I think for the consumer, it's really difficult. So with plastic waste, for instance, it's very relatable because we contextualize it in like this, you know, in 1 year in your bathroom, you'll throw away a bathtub full or 10 bathtubs full. So you try and make it like visual and relatable. Carbon, that's really, really hard to do. And I know there are some businesses that are trying different mechanics to try and contextualize carbon to the end consumer. I've not come across many that are sort of really, really good at doing that, I have to say. But I think always with all of these things, in terms of communicating it to the consumer, you have to make it really easy to grasp and relatable to their everyday lives. Otherwise, they're just going to be like, whatever, I don't get it.
Yeah, no, completely agree. It's still early days, but it's quite an exciting time, right? So you just think,
definitely.
I'm sure you must wake up every day and just think, oh, you know, you're actually making a difference, and all these different technologies and different methods coming down the line, and how the business might look in 10 years' time will be completely different.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It genuinely, you know, you'd expect me to say this, but I honestly love running this business. It's been the most fun I've ever had in my career. We've got a real clear sense of what we're trying to do. There's new opportunities to explore every day in terms of, like you say, these emerging technologies and innovations across our tech platform, innovations across our product and packaging. Yeah, it's a terrifically exciting time, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on. I think conversely to that, we're also quite dialed into the bigger brands kind of trying to greenwash their way out of it.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, there's that whole sort of David and Goliath thing of being that tiny brand, like going over and above to deliver. And then you've got, I don't know, let's say one of the big consumer goods brands saying, hey, we're doing refill. And actually all they're doing is shipping single-use plastic in a different format. So things like that can be, you know, there's a lot of that that goes.
Yeah.
And it was quite good to see last year the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority, released a new sort of greenwashing code and are now really holding brands to account when they make unsupportable claims, which is...
We have an exciting sponsor today, PeopleVox, the warehouse management system helping ambitious e-commerce businesses scale. If you have a growth mindset like lounge underwear, In the Style, or Opoly, you know how important it is to have industry-leading fulfillment and customer experience. PeopleVox offers proven increases in accuracy and transparency across your warehouse, lightning-fast pick-and-pack methods based on industry best practice, and a proven track record partnering with some of the most successful brands of the e-commerce era. All with simple setup and user training, exactly what you need to take control of your warehouse and wow your customers. With established integrations into Shopify, Brightpearl, Inventory Planner, and more, just search PeopleVox and chat to their WMS experts today. It's so easy. You're seeing so many green leaves on many consumer goods nowadays, whether that's making out that it's really healthy for you or good for the planet. It's, as I say, very interesting time to be in this business. So let's talk a little bit more about growth. Do you think it's been down to people, technology, marketing, or your product? What's been the key growth lever for you, so to speak?
is probably a really boring answer, but it really genuinely is a combination of all of those facets. And I think what you find in a business is that sometimes you're over-indexing on other parts than others. So, for instance, you know, I think we've always been, you know, very strong on technology. Probably a year into the business, we hired our sort of NPD lead, our new product development lead, which really helped us then really accelerate product quality development and efficacy and fragrance development and all that sort of stuff. So it's almost like you did fits and starts. And then, you know, we hired our growth lead, whatever it was, a year into the business, who really took control of that side of it. So there's all these different, you know, people call it the flywheel, don't they? And it's all the different contributing factors to that. And I feel now like we've got it, it's all humming.
Yeah.
But it took, you know, it takes a while to get there, and then things will change, and one part of the business will be need more investment and more development. And it's about maintaining that balance, because if all of those things work in harmony, particularly with growth, you know, it's not just about your ad creative, it's about your brand and purpose and proposition in the ad execution itself, the flow through to the landing page, the landing page design, the CTAs on the landing page, the frictionless nature of your checkout process, the post-purchase ECRM experience, the actual products, you know, delivering the products in a timely way that they look great when they arrive, fulfillment, product design, you know, everything has to be absolutely humming for that customer to go, that was awesome, and leave you a 5-star review on Trustpilot or whatever. So,
and now it's been 3 years, and obviously you've been focused on growth as any startup would at the beginning. Going forward now, is it more further growth, or are you looking towards profit? What is the most important thing for you now over the next 12 months?
Well, the world has changed dramatically, as you know, in the last, let's say, really since the beginning of last year, particularly for consumer brands, consumer tech. As a category, has become much more challenging. So definitely our focus in the last year has been, you know, we're still growing at a really good rate, but we're really laser focused on our pathway to profitability. We're currently not profitable as a business, and that was always part of the plan. But we're definitely accelerating how we think about our underlying sort of unit economics. And we've seen sort of unbelievably positive swings in our sort of underlying EBITDA and contribution margins in the last year alone. And that trend is continuing. So definitely I would say growth is always, it's always on the agenda, but having real clarity around our pathway to profitability is our number one strategy.
I'm guessing as well it's retaining those customers that you've got, because so many people with subscriptions, you know, they give it a go. You might even, I don't know if you offer like, let's try this product out. And then, as you say, you know, it's not been the easiest year or couple of years, or, you know, more than that recently. So I'm sure there's a bunch of challenges that we can talk about. But what linking back to what you were talking about, subscription, when customers' belts tighten, that's the first thing they look at, right, is those direct debits that are coming out. And if you've got someone that's maybe not as passionate about sustainability, or just can't afford to be as passionate about sustainability as others, is that a bit of a worry for you at the moment and a bit of a challenge you're having to overcome?
I think it's always a worry, and we're very mindful of the macroeconomic circumstances that we're trading in. It's a sort of astonishingly challenging year in terms of cost of living and inflation and rising food and commodity prices. I have to say our subscriber growth has been really resilient.
That's right.
Throughout the whole period. We actually commissioned a survey with YouGov last year, maybe September, October time, and we completely cold. They were not warm Bauer customers. It was a cold audience. And we just asked the question, how has the cost of living crisis impacted on your decision-making as a consumer? I.e., would you still pay a small premium to have, you know, natural, sustainable products and services for your home? And what we found was really interesting was that a lot of people are dialing back on, like, entertainment, eating out, going out, in favor of, where they're having to make budgetary adjustments in favor of still their home being a sanctuary. So that's not for everyone, obviously, but for those people that pre, let's say, February of last year were making those decisions to shop more consciously and sustainably, a very large proportion of them were still prioritizing that over other areas of the where they might reduce their household spend. And our, you know, our subscriber numbers have been really, really buoyant. Our churn is really low. And that's been a combination of, you know, just delivering a great service to our customers, of technology and platform improvements, product improvements. So long may that continue. But yeah, of course, it worries any brand.
Of course, that's really
reassuring. So far, so good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So what do you think has been the biggest mistake either you or the brand has made over the past 3 years in when you've been launching the business? What's the one thing that you wish you could change or you've learned the most from?
It's a good question. I thought about this before the call. I think the biggest mistake has been, as from a business perspective, has been a sort of over-dependency on agencies. I think we went through a period where, you know, when the team was smaller and we'd raised some investment and we felt we had to go out and bring in some sort of big-hitting agencies to help us on our journey. And I think that I sort of regret that. I think we spent too much for too little return. And actually, since we've brought most of that activity in-house now, we still do have some great external partners that we really value. But I think there was a period where we over-indexed with sort of much bigger agencies relative to the size of the business that were quite expensive and not really delivering any value. So but you know, that again, like a mistake, I don't know. I mean, you just got to try these things to work out what the best fit is. But looking back on that with the benefit of hindsight, I wish we'd made some different judgment calls there. But you know, we learned from those experiences and we delivered even better results afterwards as a consequence.
Yeah, the mistake might have been going into a 10-year contract or deal with those certain great learnings there. So how about, you talk about spend in terms of ROI. What's been the best spend? Perhaps we can like edge into technology here in terms of where you've spent money and you've seen the best ROI back.
I think probably the single best technology investment we made was investing in building our own data platform. And you know, working in this world of sort of e-commerce and direct consumer business, if you're just making decisions based on gut instinct, you're not going to survive for very long. And in the early days, that's all we could do. We had a very clear sense of our personas, a very clear sense of our customer profile. But a lot of it was just like looking at the very little, you know, the sort of high level sales data and behavioral data we had and making judgment calls on that. So our product and tech team over the last sort of 12 to 15 months have invested in building, we have invested with them in building out our own custom data platform, which is, I mean, I won't go into the sort of tech side of it, but, you know, we use a sort of variety of data connectors and APIs to pull out key data, which we can then model and visualize and use it in sort of almost real time to drive decision making across the platform for both acquisition, retention, customer behaviors, user journeys, all that sort of stuff. And that for me has been a game changer for the business in terms of what we've learned from it, the result, the sort of successes we've been able to engender off the back of it. So yeah, that I would say has been, and for any e-com, you know, like just having access to a really, and I think there's so many like third party SaaS enterprise data platforms out there, some of which I'm sure are really, really good. But for us, building our own custom model that answered specifically the questions and the hypotheses that we wanted to address has been a really good investment.
Would you recommend doing that to a company that maybe doesn't have the CEO with the expertise that you do from your background and your technology background. If the person was like really product focused and consumer focused, but maybe didn't have the career that you had, would that have been as easy? Could you have hired somebody in to do that? Or do you feel that that's really helped with your decision not to go down the third party route?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. It's a good question. I mean, you know, I have to tip my hat to our head of engineering, Ben, because he's really, you know, driven this project and taken full ownership of it. And, you know, he's an outstanding technologist. So I think anyone with any background, as long as you understand the principles that you have to make decisions based on, like, reliable data, then that's a really important area to focus. And if you know, you don't want to build a tech team and you just want to use an out of the box DMP or some sort of data suite, data studio thing that plugs into your store, that's cool. But just have real clarity about what the questions are you want answering and how you're monitoring that, what like healthcare metrics are and what strategic metrics are and how they differ. And you know, just really, really listen to, you know, have clarity and listen to the data. So, you know, how you go about doing that is up to you, really.
So now the data platform is all bedded in and you're using that day to day. What other technologies are you looking to implement for future growth?
Well, it would be remiss of me not to say, because I noticed that the sponsor for this podcast is Inventory Planner. And actually, we have just recently started using Inventory Planner, that has been, you know, that's seen real sort of optimization efficiency improvements on the sort of logistics and ops side of things. Another area that we're investing in is all the technology around our reusable packaging system. So we work with a third-party partner who help us with the software that manages our packaging and integrating that in back into the web experience. So for instance, you know, when Caroline sends us her pack of used Bower packs back, it triggers an automated thank you email with some data in it for you, so you immediately get that warm fuzzy feeling that you know, you're part of something bigger. So though, you know, but in terms of like the more the sort of digital and data side, I think our platform's in a really, really good place at the moment. So it's more about sort of continuous improvement. And the latest feature we're building is we already have this sort of onboarding flow where you put in how many rooms you have in your house, how many bathrooms, how many people live in the house, and we then personalize a subscription package for you. So that's been a really successful feature for us, but it's a bit creaking at the seams, so we're just building the second iteration of that at the moment.
Fantastic. So before I let you go, what we'd love to kind of summarize off the back of this podcast is a couple of top tips for e-commerce growth and scale that you think that other merchants and entrepreneurs that might be listening to this podcast can take away with them, some opportunities. So what have been the top two or three things that have really helped with growth and scale that someone else can take away?
The top two or three things. Well, I'll start with the answer I just gave, which is to just be laser focused on data. If you're operating in a sort of vacuum of information, you're just, you know, you're flying blind. So having real clarity about what the questions are you want answering, how you go about answering them, and then how you respond to those answers once you've got them is really important. I think secondly, having real clarity about what your purpose and proposition is as a brand. So, you know, how do you differentiate from the competition? What is it? What's your special sauce that makes you so much more attractive than other opportunities that might be in the market? And then thirdly, how do you really ensure like high retention rates of your customer cohorts, that you're delivering a really outstanding service and building long-term sustainable customer relationships over time?
So what exactly is your focus for the business for the next 6 months then, Nick?
Next 6 months, well, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, we are looking to launch in physical stores. Our customers are often saying they'd love to see us on supermarket shelves, so we're in negotiations with a number of the big national retailers at the moment. And more immediately, we are launching our first ever crowd fund on Crowdcube. So that will be going live very soon, sort of in late May, June. So please do watch out for that. And, you know, we'd love to welcome any listeners to the podcast to be a crowd investor in joining the journey of Bauer Collective.
How exciting. Well, all the best with the crowdfunding. That sounds really exciting. Thank you so much, Nick. I've super enjoyed this chat. It's been, it's hit all of my favourite notes from sustainability to subscription and tech and everything in between. So really, thank you for sharing those tips with our listeners.
Absolute pleasure, Caroline. Thanks very much for having me on.
That was such a brilliant interview. We learned so much about customer centricity, laser focused on data, and as I said, sustainability and subscription. There were some real key takeaways there in terms of the technology to help power future growth for e-commerce businesses. So to our listeners out there, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure you head over to all the usual podcast platforms to listen to the previous episodes of the Lightning 50 podcast. And don't forget, right now, listeners of the podcast can get a free trial of Inventory Planner at inventory-planner.com. Inventory Planner gives you real-time insights to identify slow-moving products and hot sellers at a glance, helping you make informed decisions about your inventory and freeing up crucial cash flow. Inventory Planner, never knowingly overbuy or underbuy ever again.